Hi, team. Welcome to the Escape Podcast for Star Wars The Old Republic. This episode, you'll hear a little news and we'll launch into an overview of Galactic Starfighter. And maybe you'll learn the difference between Mira Luka and Miri Allen. As usual, we have an astromech standing by to record this and barrel roll through space in an escape pod to get it to you. All set, EPC 13? Huh? What? What? You want to use my S-12 Black Bolt as an escape pod? Well, sure, you could. Oh. Oh, there it goes. Sorry, pal. Hi, Seema. How's hey, it Max. Going and what have you been up to?
Oh, it's going excellent. Let's see, this last week we did a few hard modes. We did a few operations. I won't go into excruciating detail on those. I did want to touch on a group we started a couple of weeks back, which is basically a slow leveling group. And what we're doing is we meet on a Friday night and we do a flashpoint or two. And we don't do any leveling during the week unless you miss a week or two and you need to adjust a little bit. You can go out and do a quest or two. But we're not going after our ships. We're not going after the class quest in between or anything like that. We're just going to level through doing the odd flashpoint. And so far, it's been pretty fun. We've done Black Talon a few times. And I think we've gotten as far as Hammer Station. We have usually two groups going. So one of the groups has been doing Hammer Station. It's a fun time. I also managed in the nick of time to remember that I needed to kill that one more kingpin to finish out the bounty contract week. I almost screwed that up because I was looking at it today and I realized I had to kill two kingpins, the one on Ord Mantell and the one on Coruscant. And I had to capture one of them and kill one of them. So I was paranoid since I left myself just one day that I was going to like kill the one I needed to capture and capture the one I needed to kill. But I don't know. I really love that dude on Coruscant, the way he pulls you in and jumps around and pushes you back out again and has ads and everything else. That was a ton of fun.
Is that the one he's on the ship platform? He's like on a shuttle platform?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy. If you're not geared for it, if you're not up for it, it's that guy's hard.
I know.
And he'll knock your companion off the platform. And
yeah. But what I was doing is I was just pulling my companion back to me whenever she got anywhere near the edge.
That's a good idea.
So I just kept repositioning him. And then I think being a healer just makes all this kind of stuff a little bit easier. Because then when the ads would drop, I just heal up Treak and then leave her with the boss and then go around, kill the ads or push them off or whatever. It takes longer, but you know, you survive. And then that was the one I had to capture. So I did that. And now I'm got the every achievement on the bounty contract week. So I'm happy about that.
So you are wanted dead or alive.
I am. And however, I did not spend any time at all on the PTS this weekend. So how about you, Max? Did you spend any time on the PTS?
Why, yes, Max says in a surprised voice. Wait, I wasn't supposed to read that part. Yes, I did. And obviously, we will talk about that more because we're going to talk all about Galactic Starfighter. I was in the beta. The closed beta, and I was on the PTS this weekend, and I took some screenshots, and I wrote up some notes, and came up with my professional opinion and analysis, and we will get into that. Cool. But I'll also talk about what else I did this week, which was the usual stuff. The scum and the villainy was cool as usual. I am going along. I haven't done a lot, but I did do that. What are you guys calling it? The super Kala XP flashpoint thing in a thing?
It's super casual flashpointistic XP-alidocious. Or
sweet.
Super casual flashpoint group or FERT. But I forget what FERT stands for. I guess I might have to turn in my AIE card because I don't remember what FERT means.
Yeah, FERT's an old AIE reference.
But since you brought it up, I wanted to mention, you know, Brewdog, who was on a couple of weeks ago talking about tanking, he's actually the one who came up with this slow leveling group. And actually, I'm really glad he did because I'm just really enjoying it. So thank you, Brew.
Yeah, and we have Cosmic Debris, who we don't often get to play with. She's joining in. She's the mistress of news on the forums. She does an awesome job with that. I think Brew's playing a healer. You're playing a tank. At least one of
the funny part, yeah.
level. That's interesting. I have, what did I bring? Oh, a juggernaut. A level 18 juggernaut that I had sitting around. And because I did a hammer station with a couple other guys.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, that's fun. We'll see how many Fridays, but the point is whoever happens to show up does it. That's pretty cool. And then we'll post on the forums, or we should post on the forums, what the average level is. So if anybody wants to catch up the next week or misses a week, they can have their character ready to go. I did a couple, you know, I did some dailies, which I don't usually do. And I did some bounties, which I don't usually do, but mostly it was for rep. Somebody asked me, oh, Albus.
You mean Huckleberry.
Huckleberry. Makia calls him some different version of Barry every time, even though his name was Albus Pure for some reason. So much so that Albus actually changed his legacy name to Barry, which I thought was hilarious. Anyway, he asked me, he was just asking in guild chat, does anybody have the, I think he wanted black, red black dye. And it comes from a rep vendor in Section X. I have an artificer now. Artificer's only up to 435 or 440. But I started looking. There are dyes you can get off the Oricon rep vendor at champion level and Section X vendor at legendary level. And I realized my reps are not up to snuff. So I did a little bit of rep stuff this week. I did enough that I could finish the bounty rep to legendary next month, and I could finish Oricon rep next week because I have less than 12,000 left in each.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about rep. So I might not quite have got, I think I needed something like 3K rep. So I probably didn't quite get that. Oh, well, next time.
I still need about 11K rep for bounty contract. So I would have to do a lot next week. We'll see. Or next month. And then the only other thing I did besides we did Dread Palace. That was great, except the last boss. We destroyed that place.
Yeah,
it's very cool. I like it. We destroy the first four bosses. We breeze through them. We can do whatever we want. And I mean, we've only tried it twice now, but we wiped like four times. We didn't have that much time, but we wiped like four times on this, you know, halfway through or towards the last phase of that last boss fight on story mode. I don't know what our problem is. I think maybe we should just see what we're, I think we might be making it too complicated or something, because we're obviously well geared. We can destroy the fortress. We can destroy everything else in Dread Palace. So we'll see.
We had this pesky problem of running out of health.
Yeah, there's that. That crazy. You always get the boss down on the last attempt, and and you always die when you run out of health for some reason. It's crazy. Right. I also listened to Torocast this week. They had the original Torocast, and now they have Torocast hard mode. I don't know if they're still doing the original Torocast, but they haven't had one in the feed since October. But it was I listened to the latest Torocast hard mode. Those guys have a pretty fun podcast. Road and May are the two hosts that were going through a spin on stuff you do in hard modes thought was pretty cool. Yeah. So it was like, we had our segment on healing. So they had their segment on healing, but it was much more focused on here are the three classes and here's sort of when you're doing hard modes and you have a commando and a smuggler. Here's the deal. XYZ. So they got into detail.
I'm going to have to go check that out.
Yeah, it's definitely high-end stuff. So you need some background before you listen to it, or you might get a little lost. But they're also just fun and fun to listen to. So it's a cool podcast. But that is what I did this week. I think it's time for a little news.
Now, an Imperial News Network report on the disturbing activities of the Chevin conglomerate.
Not about the Chevin conglomerate. I don't know why I keep playing that one. I like it. I want the Chevin chase to come back.
I do too.
Somebody was saying
the crates.
Yeah. Oh, it was the Torocast guys. They were saying that the Rackwell event was the best event. And it was good. It was very good. And maybe it was the best. But I liked the Chevin one. I liked, well, now we have the Bounty Con. I mean, you could say that the Bounty event is an event and the Grease stuff is an event. I liked all the events that they've had so far. They just need to do them more. But speaking of that, in news items, the Rackwell event may be coming back, right?
Right. On the people who were on the PTS posted a bunch of stuff about that, including, well, you know, a bunch of people. And I am excited to see what they do with the Rackwells now. I'm sure it's going to be different. I'm looking forward to how it's different. I noticed that they're going to be adding, that there is going to be a reputation associated with it, and there's new gear sets to be had. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I like the gear sets, too. I might use some of that gear on one of my characters. But, yeah, so the PTS is up with the latest patch. It's got a whole bunch of stuff in it. But people found these little sort of Easter eggs, which are features that are coming by looking at, hey, there's some new rep, and hey, here's something in the cartel shop, and hey, you know, yada, yada, yada. So the three sort of spoilery things that I thought were cool was in the cartel shop is the holiday tauntaun. And did I say cool? Because it's okay.
It's funny.
We had a debate. I think it's fine. I liked the holiday stuff from last year. I drive the Zamboni around all the time. I think it's awesome. For some reason, I'm just bugged by the nose on the Tauntaun. The nose just to me is just too large and doesn't look right. So
and too rubbery.
With that. Yes.
He it looks like a clown a nose. It looks like implant nose that actually did glow instead of a round added clown nose.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. Well, we'll see. We'll see when it's actually implemented, if it looks better in person. Maybe it will.
I'm looking forward to the little Life Day event achievements, too, that they posted crumbs about, because they seem to have snowballs involved or snow of some sort. So that sounds like it could be fun and cool.
Right. An actual Life Day event of some kind does sound pretty cool. We got the Life Day toys last year. But having an event, I think, will be a nice addition.
Right.
And then, as you mentioned, the Rackwell resurgence. There's gear in the cartel market associated with it, and there's some achievements out there and rep that look interesting.
And a boss, a instanced raid boss or ops boss.
Cool. The Rackwell stuff is fun. I don't know if they'll bring back the vendor that you could spend DNA on to get the stuff.
That would be awesome if they did. I think I have three.
People have.
Yeah.
I know. People have DNA collections sitting around, to which was the currency from last time the event was around. The DNA, if people don't know what I'm talking about. What? Spending DNA? There was some cool stuff you could buy off the vendor, though. And people want some of that. Plus, the event had each day the event was going on. There was another, you could do the dailies and get another piece of gear. And it was the containment set. I have a complete containment set. I have actually 1.8 containment sets. Missing one piece off the second set.
Because in those days, I mean, moddable gear was not as readily available as it is now, especially wrists and belts. So yeah, that was highly sought after.
Yeah,
I was very happy
deal.
To get that stuff.
But I know people who would want it again and want more. So we'll have to see if they're allowed to. Let's see, what else did we get? Well, also on the PTS is Galactic Starfighter. We'll talk about that in detail. Also, they have the class updates, which we already mostly talked about. We'll get those assassin tanking changes, and the scoundrel operative can be charged and pulled in while in cover, that kind of stuff. Oh, we're also getting a new arena map added to the rotation.
That's a cool thing.
So that's, yeah, Makeb Mesa is what it's called. And the way that they described it is that arena map will be added into the rotations of arena maps if you happen to get arena as the war zone that's selected in random war zones. So it doesn't mean you'll get arenas more often. They're like rolling the dice to see if you get an arena versus Civil War or Novari Coast. And if you do get an arena, it seems like they're rolling the dice again to see what map you get. That's cool. And we got... anything else in news? We got dewbacks this week, didn't we?
Yep. And I have seen them too. They're fun sized.
Yes. They're like babies. They're like little baby dewbacks.
They're little puppy dewbacks.
I've got the type 3 body type, big dude. And I can't ride any of the animal mounts. It looks like I'm going to break them. Oh, my feet almost touch the floor when I ride a Tauntaun. It looks ridiculous.
That body type is more trouble than it's worth, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, like it's like me in real life, you know? I got to turn sideways to go through doors. It's I'm just me and Commander Riker. Yes.
Make it so.
Only other thing I had in news was a dev article did go up just today that talks about the scout ship a little bit from Galactic Starfighter from the developer who worked on it, which is a nice little intro to it. I thought that was cool.
I'll have to go read that.
Anything else?
No, I think I'm ready to hear all about Galactic Starfighter now.
Let's get into it.
Satellite weapons online. Targeting Republic Starfighters. Stand down, squadron. Victory is ours.
There's a little bit of reverb in that. She is happy.
She sounds intense.
Yeah, she's pretty cool. So she's the Imperial Admiral that you listen to and hear. She introduces the match in the beginning when you get into the war zone. And then there's another dude here. This is what the Republic Admiral sounds like.
Fleet Admiral Ego to attack squadron. You are approaching the Kuat Drive Yard Satellite Defense Network. Your goal is to secure and protect.
Did he say Admiral Ego?
I think so. He also said,
oh, great.
It's a trap.
Now I want a waffle.
So, Galactic Starfighter. It is pretty fun. So I played it, as I said, in the closed beta. I only played a couple weekends. And I also played it this past weekend to try to answer some questions and confirm and have some more fun with it. I am waiting. I'm not overdoing it. I am going to be interested in doing it when it launches, and I will tell you why. But for those that don't know or are only hearing, I'll reiterate sort of what it is. It's a new expansion. It adds a space game into the existing game, but it's sort of separate. It's like PvP, where you go off into a war zone. You do get a special user interface, which shows the ships that you currently have and the configurations of those ships. And then you play the space game itself, and it's free roaming 3D space around 12 versus 12 players. Sometimes it drops down to 8 players versus 8 players, it seems. Mostly it's Imperial versus Republic. Sometimes it's one side, you know, versus the same side. But you're flying wherever you want in space within this pretty huge map area, going after these objectives and shooting other people. It's 3D, full 3D. It's a close-up tail view of your ship. So it's still slightly third person, but it's nearly first person because you're zoomed in close and you can't zoom out farther. You don't move your camera around all that much. You're mostly just looking where you're flying.
And you fly around
and have fun.
Is it sort of like if you were standing on the back end of your ship kind of view, or?
Close. I mean, you can see your engines. You're sort of zoomed in. If you zoomed in close on the back of your character to look around. Part of the deal, though, is there's a circle that takes up the middle third of the screen, pretty much. That's where all of your targeting and shooting goes on. And that's where your mouse sort of circles around.
Gotcha.
So you're looking the direction your ship is going 90% of the time, in order to also be targeting and shooting the things that you're flying in. You also need to be looking where you're going to, because you can smash into rocks and and things and blow up.
That could never happen.
It does. And every time someone blows someone else up, it says XYZ person blew up XYZ person. And every time you crash your ship, it does say big red message on everyone's screen. You know,
sweet.
Self-destructed. And that means you rammed your ship into a wall. So
stupid asteroid.
Exactly. And so, well, I'll talk about a couple things. I'll talk about the main interface outside the game. Then I'll talk about the game maps inside the game. And then we'll answer a couple questions to sort of give you the outline of what I'm going to do. So the main interface outside the game is called the Hangar. The Hangar is basically a tabbed page that you go through to pick your ships and your weapons and various things, which I'll talk about in just a second. It is not, which I was hoping for, envisioning when I first heard about it, a thing that your character on the fleet walks into and sees ships lined up, unfortunately.
So it's sort of like bringing up the trade skills window or something, or the GTN or something like that. It brings up a window.
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly. It's like bringing that up. It's like bringing up the cartel interface, the cartel window. That would be a good example. So you can sort of imagine some graphical things and some lists down the sides. That's what the Hangar is.
Gotcha.
Then the Hangar has five tabs, ships, components, cosmetic, crew, launch. Yes. Five tabs. Each tab then has stuff you have listed. The first tab is the ships you currently have. You only start with a couple ships unlocked. I think we only have three ship types in the game right now in the current tests, and it won't be until February where we get the fourth type. So the three that you start with are Scout, Strike Fighter, and Gunship. And they have slightly different roles. I think I'll talk about those a little bit more later. The Bombers come in February. That's a new ship type. But it shows the ships that you currently own, sort of, on the ship tab. And you can switch back and forth between them because you'll want to do various things with your ships. So you're picking your ship. And you can also spend currency to unlock new ships. There are multiple types of each of those subtypes, too. So under Scout, you might have one Scout ship unlocked. There might be another one. Currently in the beta, there was one other Scout ship you could purchase. I could see them adding more Scout ships over time, for example. So I think that's going to be pretty cool. And each of those ship types does something a little bit differently. It's not like a Trinity. It's not like a tank DPS healer model. It's big guns, but you're slow. Or you're really fast, but your guns are a little bit smaller. Or your ship does some special case stuff and has shields set up XYZ way.
Gotcha.
You could have everyone in the war zone all flying the same ship, or everyone flying different ships, and the outcome won't necessarily be all that different. I think when things get advanced, people who take advantage of the different roles and combine those roles in interesting ways may get some extra value out of it, but that's sort of advanced topics for down the road.
So is there any stealth type ship?
Not yet. There is speculation, and there were notes in the early designs during the beta of a fifth ship type, which we haven't even seen since the recent beta and is currently not on the PTS, that could have some stealth ability. I forgot what they called it. It was like the Executor or something like that. I don't know. Executioner. I don't know. But yeah, they could add it in the future because there are abilities that could be used to detect ships in various ways. There's sensors and communication stats that are part of your ship that I can talk about at some point or answer questions on. But I could see them being used to detect stealth ships too. So that could be interesting. Let's see. The second tab is the components tab. So once you pick a ship, your ship has components. It has some major components and some minor components. Your major components are your guns, your shields, your engines. You have primary weapons, secondary weapons. Sometimes you can have two primary weapons that you switch back and forth between a heavy laser and a light laser. Secondary weapons might be like missiles. And then special shield types and special engine types. And then the minor are some passive items like your gun magazine, which maybe you reload ammo faster versus you have a bigger ammo set to start with or something like that. So there's minor components too. The key that makes this sort of interesting is each of those components has a little mini upgrade skill tree. If you think of your skill tree for your character, the components themselves have a little mini skill tree that you have to unlock, and you have to pay currency to unlock. So at the very top of this whole window, you see the two types of currency that you own, which are ship requisition and fleet requisition. And you get these as rewards for completing more and more war zones and the daily and the weekly. You have to pay ship requisition to upgrade the weapons. You have to pay ship requisition to unlock more weapons. So there's a whole sort of mini game going on, or meta game going on in your hangar, unlocking ships, unlocking weapons, upgrading your weapons, upgrading down The skill trees are relatively lightweight. There's only, say, 5 tiers. There's only 1 skill in each of the first 3 tiers, and then 2 skills to choose from in the next 2 tiers. So it's only 7 total things to upgrade. But you're going to upgrade your stuff, and you're going to pick a configuration, and you're going to unlock more weapons and build your ship up over time. It's pretty cool.
Is it like you have, in the end, you're going to have a set number of points and you have to make choices, or in the end, you end up being able to take all the everything?
I think you
can
take all of them.
Okay.
You can take all of them because you just spend fleet requisition credits to unlock a particular ability. And it didn't seem like there was a trade-off. I never unlocked a complete tree, but you can unlock everything.
Yeah, I get like stymied by those decisions where it's like, but faster is good, but more is good. Why do I have to choose between faster and more?
You'll choose the first time through because you'll have limited fleet requisition and ship requisition to make the choices, and they get more expensive each tier, but eventually you'll be able to unlock them all, so you can't really make a mistake, I guess.
I like it.
The next tab is the cosmetics tab, and this is where you can see obvious free-to-play and cartel market influence added in. You start with a couple paint jobs for your ship, and you can unlock more. And it obviously, you will be able to go on the cartel market and buy more special paint jobs. Blaster colors and engine colors were the two other cosmetic tabs that they had, cosmetic choices that they had also. So somewhat simple, but I can obviously see those things either coming out of cartel packs or for sale on the cartel market. Finally, or penultimately, not finally, there's the crew tab. The crew tab is another way to sort of give abilities to your ship. You're going to pick 4 crew members. You're going to each of the crew members you pick gives separate passive abilities. And then 1 crew member you're picking as a co-pilot gives your ship an active ability, which goes in your skill bar. So you'll have 4 main skill abilities on your skill bar, 1, 2, 3, and 4. The number 4 ability is whatever your co-pilot is contributing. Your co-pilot also yells at you when you're in space. So I'll talk about that in a second once I get into what happens when you launch. But you start with some new guys that you've never seen before and your companions. And then you also have the ability to unlock companions of your other characters in your legacy. You can pay fleet requisition or ship requisition to unlock companions. So then you'll be able to pick and choose which companion gives which passive bonus you want, which was also an interesting little mini part of it. And then finally, there's the launch tab. The launch tab has a big launch button. You're queuing up, just like you're queuing up for a war zone. You're queuing as a group or you're queuing as an individual. So you'd press the launch button. I got confused when I first went to it. I thought, I'll pick my ship type and then I'll press launch. Launch is just launch. You're actually going to pick your ships. For the most part, you'll just be picking your ship after you launch and you get into the war zone, because you can actually switch ships after you die. I'll talk about that in a second. But you can bring 5 ships, and most people don't even have 5. You can bring 5 ships into the war zone. So there's got to be some way. I never had more than 5. I think if you unlocked 7 or 8 ships, you might have to pick 5 in your hangar somehow to bring into the war zone. But I thought you could only bring 5 into the war zone, and then you can switch off each time you die. So that brings me to the war zone. So any questions before I launch into that?
Wait, so did I hear you right? You can bring more than 1 ship with you when you go in? I mean,
so for most people, all your ships just show up. Yes. So I don't know what the people that unlocked more than 5. I heard it's only 5. Maybe it's all your ships. But yes, they all show up. So here's what happens then. So you queue up. And you queue up, and then where is it? I know I have the... Oh, I didn't add it. I have the war zone sound somewhere. Dun, dun, you know, you hear that war zone sound when the war zone queue pops. You get into the starting page of the war zone, and you have 2 minutes basically where you're sitting there waiting for everybody to get into the war zone and hit ready, and everybody gets launched into space. In that 2 minutes, you see everybody on your team, everybody on the opposing team, and you see all of the ship types that they have available to them and which ship type they're picking. You then get to pick out of your ships that you brought into the war zone and for every time I played it so far, it was all the ships. You pick which ship you're starting with to launch out into the first round of the war zone. And maybe that's the only ship you'll have because you'll never die. But if you die and you end up back on the load screen, you get to pick a different ship if you want.
Ah, okay.
So say you want to place, you're going to fly your scout for a while. You pick your scout, you go off, you fly off into the war zone, shoot a bunch of people. Oops, you get blown up, you crash into a wall. And maybe you would do that on purpose if you wanted to switch ships for some reason. I didn't even think of that until just now. Then I could go get my strike fighter, or I could go get my bomber. Hey, guys, we need a bomber over here to do a special thing. Well, now I'll go back to the load screen, and I'll pick my bomber, and I'll go off in my bomber. So that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Then, so now you're on the load screen. You get your countdown. The Admiral, she just says her little spiel. Then you start the game. There's two maps. They're the same game, though. It's just sort of two art styles, art themes. There's Lost Shipyards, which is dark outer space looking. There's Quat Mesa, which looks more like Makeb in the atmosphere. It's a little brighter, and it's a mining mesa. The game's the same, though. And if you've ever played PvP and played Civil War Alderaan, where it's the three turrets. And if you look at the map, there's basically three turrets across the middle of the map. One team starting on one side and one team starting on the other. And then horizontally between those two teams, equally spaced, is three objectives. The whole objective of the game is basically to capture as many of those three satellites as you can. The longer you have any one satellite captured, the more points you're gaining. The first team to 1,000 wins. That's it. It doesn't matter how many people you individually kill. It's all just the points from the satellites. Once you get to 1,000, it's over.
And how long does a typical game like that take, or is it all over the map?
Good question. It's about the same as a war zone, a PvP war zone. So I'd say five and 10 minutes. So it's not real long. There's not that much of a way to stretch it out all that much longer. If you kept trading ownership of the satellites often, that's going to slow it down a little bit. If one team controls all three satellites consistently throughout the whole match, that's going to speed it up a little bit. But otherwise, it's not all that short or all that long.
So what would you personally do when you would go flying into a new map? Not a new map, but you know, you're starting up a new game.
So I played my scout a lot, right? Mm-hmm. So when I launched the scout, you have your ship, it's in the middle of the screen, and you're flying forward. You're always sort of flying forward. So if you want to go up, you move your mouse up, and the ship flies up in the air. So you're always just flying in the direction you want to fly. I would take my scout, and I would the deal with the scout is it's really fast. So you're flying extra fast. You have two sort of power pools in the middle of your screen that you're watching the whole time, which is the power of your weapons and the power of your engines. So every time you're doing like speed boost, pressing space bar, you're using up engine power. But the scout is really fast, so you have some extra engine power. So I would always blast as quick as I could. I'd shift extra power to my engine pool. I'd press spacebar and I'd get to the middle, get to one of the satellites as quick as I could. So that's the first thing. You want to get to the satellites anyway. You want to try to capture them. You capture them by flying really close to them. And, you know, if more of one team is flying around it closer, then you capture the satellite. So I would go with my little scout. I would capture. And then I'd go find somebody to shoot because you just want to shoot other players because you want to keep them away from your satellite. And if they're trying to cap your satellite, then you go and you shoot, you blow them up, and then you cap the satellite. Scouts are really good at hit and run, I found, and I could do a lot of damage by tracking somebody down, doing a lot of damage. And then if I started taking damage or getting targeted, I would zoom away.
Interesting.
You have to be relatively close with most of the weapons. You have to be relatively close. And if a scout ship is really fast, it can outrun the slower ships and get out of their gun range really easily. So that's what I would do. I kept flying, you know, flying off in some direction, or flying away, or flying around. There's a lot of like asteroids and mesas and things to dodge and fly around.
And if someone in a big slow ship is going, "Damn you, Max! I'll
get you." Yeah, exactly. Unless unless they manage to get missile lock and then some giant missile comes and blows me up.
And then they're like, yay.
Or unless I press my speed boost and jam myself into an asteroid and blow myself up.
But that does make me think of a question. When they're, when you're in a fight like that, do you see like name tags on people's ships? I mean, do you know who they are, or are they just ships to you?
Yes. Yes. So you see everyone's name tag. The enemy ships are red squares until you get close and you actually see their ship. Your guys are green. You don't see the enemy ships on the map until one of your team's ships is close to them. And that's some of the secondary special abilities like sensor ranges and communication abilities of your ships. But then you can actually see them as dots on the map, on the mini map too. But you always see their name. You always see the name above them. And you have to tab target your target, but all of the aiming of your weapons is all manual. You have to be moving your cursor on the screen and leading them. And there's little indicators, a little circle that leads them off to sort of fire. But you're firing your blasters. You're trying to get missile lock by holding your right button down and shooting your missiles. But you see them the whole time. And when you have them selected, they show up in a little window up in the upper right too. So you can tell who you're firing at or who's firing at you.
Now, is that name we're talking about, is it the name of their ground character?
Yes, it is the name of the ground character.
But the ground character doesn't, Max. There's no level restrictions on the ground character before you can do this kind of battle,
no,
right?
Okay. There's not. In fact, at one point in the beta, some of the higher level characters were bugged out, and the workaround was roll a level one character, and from level one, get off the load screen, go into the hangar interface and start your first mission.
That's very interesting.
You get XP and credits for running those missions too, by the way.
XP for your
ground XP.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
So you could potentially just be leveling up your ground character off of these missions as well.
Because that is one of the questions I was actually going to ask you, is do you see this as drawing in a whole, or do you think people will play Galactic Starfighter? Do you see it as, how am I trying to say this? Like, is there going to be two games now, Galactic Starfighter and the MMO? It sounds like they are kind of related, tied together, though. If you're ground
They are tied together some. But you're not paying credits. You're paying the sort of the currency is separate. Your character is separate. It is. You could think of PvP and PvE being somewhat separate in Star Wars currently.
Yeah.
Because the PvPers could just do PvP permanently. The PvEers could never do PvP. There are a lot of people who play the game that way. This is even another. This is a third thing. It's closer to PvP. It is player versus player. Everything you do is player versus player. There's no PvE component to it. But it certainly is its own thing.
Their character is going to be standing on Ord Mantell or Hutta or whatever. So they are in the world.
Yes. Yeah, wherever you are, wherever you happen to be, you just bring up the interface and you queue for the war zone, the Space Galactic Starfighter zone.
I noticed recently that as a starting character, you do not have to finish. Well, this maybe was always true, but you don't have to finish your class quest at all to take the shuttle to the fleet. I don't know what the limitation is, but I've done it a number of times now on characters that I hadn't finished the class quest for. So maybe it was in preparation for this. If you're not questing in the ground game, but you want to go stand around the fleet and listen to General there rather than, you know, always be on Hutta for your whole entire existence, you can catch the shuttle.
Yeah, I don't think that was always the case. I think they had it restricted at one point, but I think they probably decided to open it up.
It might still be restricted somewhat by level. But I've never tried it, you know, at level one. Maybe I will try it. I'll get back to you on that.
I'll try it. So I think I'll sort of leave off. We'll maybe leave that as the intro to space.
Okay.
There's a lot of depth, and maybe we could talk, you know, maybe we can have another episode coming up because we've got plenty of time before this, you know, this is only launches to subscribers in December and it doesn't launch until next year for everyone else. So we have plenty of time, but there's a lot of depth in how you use your weapons and what the ship types do. And so maybe we'll see what people are up for and maybe talk about some more the other time. But I did want to get to a couple questions that a couple listeners sent in. We had Mesh Swotor, who asked, on Twitter if Space XP boosts will be useful, like off the cartel market, the XP boost. And my answer to that so far is no. So those do not currently affect the game. What I would expect, though, because of the way the current gain of requisition works, is that they could potentially add a requisition boost, a Galactic Starfighter boost, before long. There is a difference in the rate that subscribers gain requisition versus non-subs gaining requisition. So subscribers do gain fleet requisition and ship requisition faster. And then we have another question from Brewmaster Wansu, or Daniel, on Twitter, who said, who asked, would you say fly into a zone of danger? And my answer and to Daniel is, yes, in fact, I would fly right into said danger zone. I certainly would. But then, as I followed up with him on Twitter, I said, just to clarify, I would, but then my ego writes checks my body can't cash. So that's just me.
There you go.
So I think that's it. We will cover more in future weeks, but I think that is a good intro for now. I think people will have fun with it in general. I certainly did, and we'll have to get more people into it. I know we'll do some guild events in it, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. And if I think of any more questions, I'll certainly contact you, Max.
Yes, please. If you could do that, that would be great. You can, yes, you please write me a letter. I prefer them handwritten on parchment. That would be spectacular.
I'll get right on that.
Well, I think our EBC 13 droid here is filled up and ready to go. Thanks for listening. For comments or questions, we can be found on Twitter at MaxTheGrey and at AIESEMA, or drop in on Jedi Covenant and ask us for a guild invite. Our character names are in the show notes. For AIE Guild information, you can visit aie-guild.org or find us on Facebook or Google+ at AIE SWTOR. And we will...
We'll fight another day.
We will fight another day. We will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.